Hey, hey, I'm Danielle Ryan, and this is Adulting 101. Being an adult is stressful, and this podcast was specifically designed to help you navigate the crazy world of adulthood. So buckle up, and let's get into the episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I want to start this episode by sending a huge thank you to everyone who listened to the reboot episode last week. And I'm just so, so excited to have found sort of my desire to continue to create podcast episodes for you. I sent this to my email list on Friday, and I have mentioned this on Instagram many, many times, but this podcast holds a very special place in my heart, and it has been a really great outlet for me over the past 3.5 years. So I'm so grateful to you for continuing to show up and to listen wherever you are. And I'm just really excited to be here. So can I just start this episode, though, by telling you a little bit of a story? You know, I feel like this is something that I really should do more of, because one of my favorite parts about listening to podcasts, like the podcasts that I love to listen to, are that the people who create them share actual stories about their lives, and it gives you that sense of personal connection. So I thought it might be interesting for me to just talk a little bit about my week, because okay, if you follow me on Instagram, you know I've been a little bit annoying asking people to come and follow me on TikTok. I've been creating TikToks every day for the last month, and I created a TikTok this past week about the fundraiser prints that I created for my brother. So if you're new here, you have no idea what I'm talking about. My brother passed away in August of this year, and as a sort of memorial for him, I created these cardstock prints with his favorite quote on them. I put them in frames and I was mailing them out to anyone who wanted them and donating all of the proceeds to the Canadian Mental Health Association. So when I initially started this project, or had this idea for this project back in August, I went and I bought 15 frames thinking, like, I don't want to get too many. If they don't sell, then I'm going to be stuck with all these frames in my house. So I only bought 15 in hopes that I could maybe sell those. Well, at that time, it sort of blew up and I sold close to 100 frames. And the issue was the supplier I got the frames from couldn't order me more. So I literally had to drive from Muskoka to Barrie to Sudbury and get every single frame I could find that fit the right sort of sizes, specs, and was of the quality that I wanted. And anyways, I ended up with like an excess of frames. So I've left the prints on my website for people to purchase as they want. You know, Christmas is coming. I thought maybe it would be a great gift, and I'm still donating all of the proceeds to charity. Well, I had an order come in last weekend, and I thought it would be a pretty interesting TikTok to just film me packing the order and share a little bit about the fundraiser that I was doing. Well, my friends, let me tell you, that TikTok popped off. And I think as of the date that I'm recording this, so Friday, it has over 40,000 views. Which in the grand scheme of TikTok isn't a lot, but for the size of my TikTok account, this is huge. Like, I've gained probably almost 1,000 followers in less than a week. And it's just been absolutely overwhelming. So I've had all of these orders like pouring into my online store. I ran out of the frames again, and I'm just selling the like cardstock prints for 10 bucks a piece. But I'm talking like orders from Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, Alberta, Nunavut, British Columbia, Northern Ontario, Southern Ontario. Like, we have orders coming in from all over, and it has been so incredibly overwhelming. So I'm telling you the story because the last few days of this week, I haven't been working at all other than coming on here to record this podcast and doing a few things in my membership community, because my entire life has now become consumed by processing these orders. And I had to go on Amazon and order 170 feet of bubble wrap the other day. So I am just so, so overwhelmed, and I'm feeling all sorts of gratitude for the amount of support, the power of the internet. And this really just ties back into this podcast, I guess, because I'm so grateful to have this outlet, and I'm so grateful to be surrounded by a community of such supportive people. So thank you so much for continuing to show up here. You mean so much to me, and I am just so appreciative of the life that I have, even though I've been going through some really, really hard stuff lately. It's been really beautiful to see everyone sort of band together to support me. So thank you so much. I love you so much. And let's get into what we're talking about today. So with the reboot, we are kind of mixing things up a little bit, and I'm going to be bringing in a lot more interviews onto the podcast, hopefully. So we're going to start this week with our very first new interview guest, and I'm really excited for this one. I have decided to bring on my friend Jordan, who I met on the internet. What a surprise! And I'm really, really excited to share our conversation with you. Jordan is a personal trainer from Toronto, and she's also a coach who works with women to not only transform their bodies, but also their mindset and their thoughts around fitness and how they feel about their body. So Jordan is really passionate, not only about all things health and wellness, but also about her own personal development and entrepreneurial journey, which I can definitely relate to. And we decided to really chat about her journey because Jordan has been a personal trainer for 11 years now, coaching people in real life. And 6 of those years, she actually owned her own fitness studio. But obviously, when COVID hit earlier this year, she had to pivot a little bit with how she was delivering her service. And in June, she actually decided to give up her physical studio space and just start training people online. And so this is a whole new chapter of her life, her journey in entrepreneurship, and just as an individual. And so she now runs her own online fitness studio and a signature coaching program right out of her house, which is great. I can definitely relate to that. And so in our conversation, we really talk about the freedom and new opportunities that come with making these changes in our lives, even when we might be feeling external pressure to do things a certain way, or maybe we want to change things in a way that doesn't make sense to other people. We talk a lot about the mindset that goes behind that in finding confidence in the decisions that are right for you and feel right for you. And so I'm really excited for you to be able to tune in and to listen to this conversation. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get right into it. But of course, before we get into it, I do just want to remind you of the 15-day free series I have going on in my Facebook group, Purposeful Female Millennials on Facebook. You can just go ahead and search that name and you'll see my face. We're going to be chatting all about the principles and steps you need to take in order to stop feeling so stuck in your life and to start really creating that life of purpose and intention. You know, I spent a really long time in a place where I felt very, very stuck and very, very defeated in terms of thinking that this was all life had to offer me. And there were a few key tools and techniques that I learned to really pull myself out of that place. And I want to be able to share those with you. So that's happening starting today at 4 p.m. going all the way until the 27th of November, and I would love to see you there. So just go ahead and search Purposeful Female Millennials on Facebook or click the link below, and I would love to see you inside. Hi, Jordan. How are you doing?
Hi, Danielle. I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome. I'm so excited to have you on here. Thank you so much for coming on. I would love it if we could start today's interview with you introducing yourself, who you are, what you do, how your whole journey sort of started.
Of course. So my name's Jordan Comerford. I am a personal trainer, a mindset coach, and a wellness expert. I've been working in the fitness industry for 11 years. And I started my career right out of George Brown College. So I went to college for fitness and lifestyle management. And I honestly was taking it as 2 years to do something that was interesting, to go to college, and then figure out what I wanted to do after that. But when I got there, I realized in the second year that this is what I wanted to do. And so I started personal training right out of George Brown when I was 21 years old. And I have been doing it ever since. It's been the only job really, aside from some other part-time jobs that I've had. So it's taken many turns, but I recently brought my business online. So now I am a virtual personal trainer. I have an online studio where I teach virtual classes, and then I have my coaching part of my business.
That's awesome. So what is that like going from, say, like training people in person? You did that for 9-10 years, and now all of a sudden it's like, probably partially part of the pandemic being like, well, now you don't really have a choice. But then I know that you chose to sort of stick with that model. So I'm interested to hear sort of what that transition has been like for you.
Yeah. So like I said, I was training in person for 10 years. And I had a studio space. So 6 years ago, I opened with another trainer a studio space, and that's where I was seeing all of my clients. And that was the dream. That was my end goal. That was the dream. That's like as far as I could see my future, was having my own studio where I could see my clients, teach group workouts. That was the goal. And so I did that, and I did that for 6 years. And it was amazing. It was fantastic. I loved every minute of it. It was the hardest 6 years. It was the best 6 years. And if I'm being really honest, about a year and a half, maybe before the pandemic hit, I started to think, like, what was next? Like, I had reached this goal and done the thing. And where was I going with my business? How was I going to grow personally, professionally? Like, what was the next step? I was starting to feel a little bit stuck in the business that I had built for myself, which is, and it was an uncomfortable feeling for me, because it was like, I decided I wanted this. I built this for myself, and now maybe I don't want it in the same way. So I was having a lot of those feelings, but not knowing what to do about it. And still, I was happy. There was something more, and I just didn't know what that was, and I didn't know how to transition it, and I didn't know how to talk about it, and I didn't know what to do. So when the pandemic hit and I was forced to close my physical location, it was a silver lining for me, really, in it was the push that I needed into kind of the next chapter for me professionally and personally. And so I'm from Toronto, and the fitness community in Toronto jumped into such fast action, taking everything online, that I really just followed lead. And I really was like, I can do this too. And I didn't know that it would be long-term. At first it was going to be 2 weeks, and then it just kept going. And so I just started building this online business, and I think in the back of my mind, knowing that this could be a next step for me. But it wasn't until I started feeling anxious about reopening and what that would look like, and if I wanted to go back to that or if I didn't. And honestly, being closed and changing my whole business and being at home really gave me time to work through that and process it and think about it and reflect on it. And ultimately, I made the decision to keep things online and to let go of my physical business and my space.
I love that. And I think that that's a huge testament to this idea that oftentimes it can be really hard for us to, like, metaphorically loosen our grip on things. Like, we always feel like, I don't know if it's we need to be in control of a situation, or I've worked so hard to build this thing, how can I possibly let it go? And there's a lot of shame, I think, that's associated with that. I was talking with a client about this recently who also just left her job to pursue one of her passions. And we were having this discussion about how oftentimes when we make these decisions, so in your case, like closing your physical space and taking your business online, or in the case of her, where she's leaving her job to try this new thing, there's a lot of shame associated with, like, sharing that with people, because we fear that people are going to perceive our change as failure, when for us, it's really sort of like an opportunity for freedom. Like, I'm stepping up into my new self, and yet you're telling me that what I'm doing isn't okay. And that can make it really hard for us to want to, or not necessarily want to, but to feel okay with coming to peace with these big decisions we've made for ourselves, even when we know it's the best decision. It can be hard for us to accept that when we have sort of this, like, peanut gallery telling us, like, well, are you sure that this is the wisest decision? Like, did you experience that when you were going through this period of transition?
100%. Like, 100%. You hit the nail exactly on the head. Like, that is exactly how I felt. I felt so much pressure in a way to not change what I had done. I had such an identity around being a personal trainer who had her own studio. I, you know, had to redefine what success meant for me and only for me. Because one, you know, success 6 years ago when I opened my studio was having that studio, having that location, you know, doing that full time. That's all I wanted to do is be a personal trainer full time, be a coach full time, have my own space. And so I built this whole identity and this success definition for myself that's what it meant for me to be successful. And I felt as though people would think I failed if I closed my studio. And when it came down to it, when I really worked through a lot of this, it wasn't even myself. I had to work through some of that myself. But once I worked through the internal stuff, I knew I didn't fail. I knew I was successful, and I knew that I was following what felt way better for me right now and what felt like the next steps and what felt like freedom and what felt like just an unlimited options for me taking my business online. I knew that authentically that felt really good, but telling people felt so hard. I felt like I was letting people down. I felt like people were going to think that I failed. I felt like people wouldn't understand. I like physically made myself sick for a weekend leading up to announcing that I was not going back to in person, and I built it up so much for myself.
It's so funny too, as you're saying that, like making yourself physically ill. I remember when I had made the decision to leave my 9-to-5 job, I had like on the weekend, I had booked my flights, booked my yoga teacher training. Like I spent probably like $5,000 in a matter of like 2 hours. So it wasn't a decision that I could just automatically like reverse. So the decision had been made in my mind. But then when I went to go into work on Monday and tell my boss, like, okay, this is what's up, I'm leaving in 30 days. I had built it up in my head that like, oh my God, I can't do this. Like, it's so scary. What is she going to say? What is she going to think? And I actually put it off for like 3 days. And I don't think it was until like the Wednesday that I finally had enough courage to go in. And I was like physically shaking. And she was like, Danielle, like, are you okay? Are you going to pass out? Like, what's going on? And then the moment that I like let the cat out of the bag, I told her like, okay, I'm leaving. This is what's going on. I felt liberated. And I'm sure you can relate to that. Like, we tend to create this narrative in our head and we have this idea that all these people are going to say this or they're going to think this. And then in reality, when it comes to actually like facing that fear or doing that thing, it's never really as bad as we had anticipated. And I just talked about this on my Instagram story. I was saying how like your world isn't going to explode if you go and you try this thing or you put yourself out there doing this new business venture or trying this new hobby. While people might say something, no one really cares as much as we think they do. And also, it's not our place to decide what people think of us. So if we are preventing ourselves from taking action because of the story we're telling ourselves, the story isn't even true yet. We haven't even let those people think their own thoughts. We're just deciding for them. And so I think that that's really important to remember too, when you're making these decisions, that our identities are allowed to shift. We don't have to always be the physical business owner or the personal trainer or the yoga teacher. We can decide tomorrow to wake up and go back to school and become something totally different if we really wanted. Like, identity is so fluid, and yet we live in a society where I feel like we get so fixated in identifying ourselves based on what we do and how we do it. And so I would love it if you could kind of speak to that perspective in terms of your journey, especially because you've been doing this for 10 years now and everyone knows you as like Jordan the personal trainer. And so while that is still a part of your business, I would love to hear more about how you have sort of transitioned more into the coaching side of things. And again, what this looks like for you now that things are more online.
Yeah. So the identity piece is huge. And I think that for me, a big part of it was doing work on myself and understanding that I'm, you know, worthy and valuable to people, not just as a personal trainer, not just as a fitness expert, not just as a business owner. I really built this kind of life for myself where that was my value that I was giving people, and that was making me worthy. And so I had to do some work around that, that if I let go of that and if I don't have those certain pieces, that I'm still valuable and I'm still worthy and I still have, you know, lots to offer and I'm still important. And that was some inner work to be done. And, you know, it's scary at first when someone, when people know you for one thing, and then you start to become interested in something else, whatever that may be in your personal life, in your business, you start talking about something different, you start wanting to have different conversations. And it's scary. It's like, are people going to think, oh, what happened to Jordan? Or, oh, what happened to Danielle? Now she's all, you know, weird talking about this. Now she wants to talk about that. Now she doesn't want to do this anymore. Like, who is she? I think that one of my favorite quotes right now is, I just read Untamed by Glennon Doyle. And one of the quotes from the book that she says is, I'm not going to get it exactly right here, but basically it's when, you know, presented with the option to let yourself down or let someone else down, always let someone else down. And I think that's like what I stuck to through this is like, ultimately, it's not my responsibility, anybody else. What I have to take care of first and foremost is myself. And so if anything that I'm doing or anything that I'm choosing is letting myself down, it's the wrong choice. And that could be for your business. That could be about what you're talking about. That could be about relationships or a friend or something. Like, you know, you have to choose yourself first. And I think that was a really big lesson that happened for me. And now I've transitioned and I'm online. And the thing is that it's okay. And it's great. And I feel fantastic. And I have a new coaching program that's group coaching online. And it's one of my favorite parts of my week. And I think that it shows and people can see that this is, you know, where I'm supposed to be, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think that when you can listen to like those little voices and those little nudges and you can follow them, you know, the right people in your life will support you, and the right people will see, oh, wow, this is a great version of Jordan. This is a great version of Danielle. This is a great version of so-and-so. And, you know, we're happy that they got there.
And I think it also requires a little bit of us to accept the fact that some people, while they served us for a part of our journey, we might just have to accept the fact that they weren't meant to stay here for a long time. I know in my experience and the experience of people I've worked with, a lot of the times when we make drastic changes in our lives, in our relationships, in our careers, it can make other people in our lives really uncomfortable. And they in turn sort of shut themselves out and away from us. And while that can be really challenging to deal with, like it's never fun to lose friendships or to have rifts in relationships that we've created, it's important to remember, like you said, that we need to look out for ourselves first. And that doesn't mean you have to go around and make selfish decisions and be like rude to everyone. But at the end of the day, you really need to think about like what is going to make me most happy in the long term, without sacrificing the well-being of people around me, but what changes do I need to make to fulfill that? And if that means that you're going to have to let people sort of get out of your way to get there, then that's okay too. Like not everyone who comes into your life is meant to stay there forever. And while that can be really, really hard to accept, it's also a necessary part of the journey. Would you agree?
Yes, 100%. To be really honest, I've had people ask me, you know, well, what happens when gyms do reopen? What happens when people do want to go back to in-person training? Did all of your clients, did everyone want to come online with you? Do they want to stay online with you? And the answer is no, they didn't. Like a lot of them are like, everyone has been so supportive in every different way of this transition for me. But no, not every single one has changed over to virtual training, and not every single one will continue to stick with it when gyms and studios reopen. And that's 100% okay. And I 100% know that they're going to do what's best for them. And just because I might not be their personal trainer anymore, or I might not be their coach in that sense anymore, it doesn't mean that we might not still have a relationship. We can't still stay connected. You know, if I have a close relationship with these people, it doesn't mean that it's over. It just means that it's shifted and it's changed. And we're at a new space in our life and a new chapter in our relationship. And that just means it's a little bit different, and that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, it's all part of the natural process and understanding that, like, it would be boring if everything was just the same all the time. So the challenging parts really just are part of what keeps it interesting as we continue to grow and change throughout that. You made a really good point earlier about this idea of worthiness and finding our identity beyond what it is that we do. So do you have any advice for people who are maybe listening who find themselves in this situation where, like, hi, my name is Danielle and I'm a lawyer, or I do this and I'm married to this person and whatever that looks like. I think that especially as adults, when you meet someone new, you're always like, hi, like, my name is Danielle, I'm a yoga teacher. And that's like, you identify who you are with what you do. And I think that there's sort of this space, especially a lot of us have been learning in 2020 as we've had to adapt what it is we do or how we do it. We're starting to learn that who we are as individuals is separate from like how we spend our lives Monday to Friday or whatever your work hours happen to be.
Yeah, I think that that's been one of the biggest things for me that I've taken away from 2020 was I didn't know how much weight I had on that identity and how much I had tied up in that. And I think, honestly, it's getting to know yourself. Because if you don't know yourself, then, hi, I'm Jordan. I don't even know. I know I'm a personal trainer and I know that I'm good at that. And I know that I have a business that's successful and I make a living and my clients keep coming back. So that's what I know. But if a lot of us, I think it's this really interesting idea that you assume you know yourself because you are yourself. But I realized over the past couple of years specifically that I really didn't actually know myself very well. And I didn't know the things that I really like were important to me, what I like to do, what filled me up, how to take care of myself. I used to think that I never liked to be alone. But once I did some work, I actually realized that I love to be alone and that is how I recharge. So now I love hiking by myself and I love going on trips where I can adventure and hike alone by myself. But without doing some of that work, and I think it's just like literally figuring out what you like to do, like make a list, like what are the things that you like to do? Where do you feel like, you know, time flies by? What could you do and you could be doing it forever? Like, what did you like to do as a kid is a really interesting question that I know a lot of coaches use. What do you like to do? And then exploring that and really even just starting with making a list of the things you do for fun, the things that make you happy, and then like leaning into those.
Yeah, I actually use similar exercise with my clients, especially when it comes to dealing with stress. And so if you're feeling really stressed out or you're in maybe a stressful job or just your life situation is stressful at this time in 2020, I feel like we're all permanently stressed out. We create a list of our 10 like go-to activities that aren't like super tedious. So not like go for a 10 kilometer hike. But in the moment, if you're sitting, say you're working from home, you're sitting at your desk and you're having this like thing where you're like, oh my God, I'm so stressed out right now. You have this list of 10 activities that you love doing that you can look at and be like, okay, well, I also like to read. So I'm just going to set a timer for 5 minutes, open up my favorite book and read it for 5 minutes, just as a means of recentering yourself into that energy of like, this is what I love to do. I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling better. And then coming back into your regular day to day. So it's a little bit different. It's just sort of like a fun fact of information for anyone listening who's looking for a way to combat sort of these feelings of overwhelm. Leaning into those activities can really bring us back to like, what's important for me? What are my values? What do I appreciate? And most importantly, what do I want to get out of this life? Like, we only have one life to live, people. Why are we sitting around wasting our time doing things we don't want to do, talking to people we don't want to talk to?
Yeah, 100%. And I think when you do those things, it's like, I'm a reader. I'm an adventurer. I love movies. I'm a sensitive person. Like, I'm quiet. Like, that's when you start to realize, like, I'm all of these things. And that makes me worthy just because I simply am a human. And this is who I am. And I don't need to be, I don't, you know, my worth isn't tied up in, you know, what I do 9 to 5.
100%. And also recognizing that as we get older, those interests can evolve. So yes, maybe 5 years ago, I loved to go out partying with my friends, but that's not who I am anymore. And I don't like doing those things. And that's okay. You can let go of things as the journey progresses. and realize that like you are still you are still human, you are still valuable. Your interests have just evolved over time.
And I think like people in your life who are the most important people in your life who love you no matter what are like, hey, cool. Like, so you used to love running and now you don't run anymore. I don't care. Like, you still call me when I'm having a bad day and we can have a great conversation. Like, I don't care that you used to run marathons and now you don't. I don't care that you used to X, Y, and Z and now you don't. Like, you're still a good friend. You're still a good sister. You're still a great mentor, whatever you are to somebody. It's not those things that makes you, you know, valuable to them in your relationship.
Absolutely. 100%. It's just so difficult, I think, for a lot of people. And I've been in this position before too. So I don't want anyone to interpret this as me being like, I'm so much better than you. I have all the answers. Because I don't. I don't know what I'm doing most of the time. But it's just this idea that like there's no one defined box that it's like, okay, I have to check off all of these steps. Then I get to get into the box and then I'm safe and everything's done. It's this constant process of evolution. And you touched on this at the beginning when you were explaining your journey of like, what's next, what's next, what's next? I've done this thing, so now what do I do? And when we allow ourselves this opportunity to sort of continuously strip these identities and really get to the root of like, what brings me joy? What makes me happy in this moment? We allow ourselves the opportunity to sort of recognize that life is sort of this never-ending pool of opportunities and there's no end game really. It's kind of just what feels good today, how can I lean into that and carry it forward with me tomorrow, the next day, the next day.
Yeah. And people have asked, the most common question I get is people say, do you really like online training and coaching and working better than in person? And I'm like, well, yes, no, both kind of like, I like it right now for this chapter in my life. I like it for what I can see for the next chapter in my life. I like it for all of the opportunities. I like it that I can work from my laptop. I like it for the freedom. Like, it's so much more than just black or white. Like, there's this whole gray zone that feels really great, and the freedom of that feels great for me right now, and the opportunities feel like limitless. And so that's what I love right now.
Yes. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, you know what? I love to be in the gray area, but I mean, it totally makes sense. And I 100% agree. Nothing is really ever like one way or the other. And I think that if you can kind of accept, as long as you're happy with where you're at right now, if you can accept that, like, this is good for me for now, but it's not my, like, maybe it's my forever, but maybe it's not. And that's okay. Really just allowing yourself to be open to those opportunities is so, so important.
Especially right now, right? Like, it's been the most bizarre year any of us have ever lived through. So
we're just taking it as it comes. Okay. So aside from that, on that note, aside from the pandemic, which has obviously created challenges for many people in many ways, we're all on this sinking ship together. I'm curious to know what other challenges you faced along the way, whether it be in building your business, in just your regular life, relationships, whatever you feel like talking about today. I feel like we live in an age where social media sort of makes everyone's life look super perfect and super attainable. And like, she did it, it was easy for her. Why isn't it working out for me, kind of thing. And so if you could speak a little bit to some of the struggles that have sort of led you to where you are today, I think that that would be really beneficial for the people that listen to this podcast.
Yeah. So I think that's big, big time. And I try to, on Instagram, I'm pretty active on Instagram, I try to share openly and honestly that it's not all how it seems, because it is a highlight reel. And you could look at my life and see one thing, and it's not like that at all. Running a business is hard. It's definitely hard. It's definitely challenging. There's no one to tell you what to do or where to go or when to do it or how to do it. And especially in the beginning of starting my business, yes, I had a sign out front. Like, yes, I had people coming into my studio, but ultimately, like, I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I messed my taxes up for the first, like, how many years? Like, you know what I mean? Like, simple things like that. Like I had no, you know what I mean? I had no idea in a lot of sense what I was doing. I feel like in terms of just personally and my life and relationships, like everything evolves and changes so, so, so much. And what I've like really, really had to become comfortable with is like evolving and shedding and letting go of things and not holding so tight onto things when you know that it's, when you get that gut feeling. I'm getting better at trusting my intuition. And if I'm really, really honest, like even in my business, I said at the beginning about maybe a year and a half ago, I started getting this little nudge and this little feeling and this little something. But to be honest, I pretty much ignored it. And if the pandemic hadn't come, I probably would have ignored it longer until it was yelling at me. And that's a theme in my life with relationships, with my business. I have ignored that gut feeling, ignored that intuition until it gets louder and louder. And then it's yelling and it's making life now uncomfortable and it's making life feel shitty. And it's because I'm ignoring those voices and ignoring ultimately, you know, what I should be doing for myself or the direction that, you know, like I know I ultimately want, but change is so hard. And I think just becoming more comfortable with change has been big for me because you think you have your life set one way and it's like, it's okay for it to change. No one cares. You're going to be fine. Everything's going to work out the way that it's meant to work out for you. And if you have that little gut feeling, you have that intuition, you have these nudges and you ignore them, it's not a good scene. It ends up like getting worse and worse in my experience and kind of blowing up, and then it sucks, and then it's really shitty, and then you kind of have to deal with the mess of the blow up from the thing that you ignored. And so while those things happen, I'm running a business and successful and it's great, and you know, everyone from the outside thinks things look fantastic, but I have these things going on within my business, within my personal life that I've been ignoring. And now it's all going to blow. And from the surface, no one knows those things.
Yeah, that's really the challenge. And the thing that people need to remember is that, especially when it comes to the online space, what you see is only an eighth of the picture, a quarter of the picture. It's never someone's whole entire life. And I think that in my experience, I definitely agree with what you're saying in terms of deal with the problem now, face the discomfort, because the longer you ignore it, the worse the problem is going to be and the more uncomfortable it's going to be when you're forced to deal with it later down the road. And that's not to say that you have to like totally 180 your life, but if you're getting this sort of intuitive hit to just try something new or explore a new interest or maybe make one little change in your life, I think that the worst thing that's going to happen is you try it and it doesn't work out. Well, then you end up back where you started anyway. So really, what's the difference and what is there to lose?
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. And I think that, you know, the concept of the fact that when you do, I've really been working on like listening to my intuition more. And when you do have those thoughts or those ideas or those little like nudges, I call them, when that does come to you, like that came to you for a reason. And that was meant for you. And I really believe that you're supposed to follow that. And like, because everyone's, you know, everyone's different. Like you got the nudge and the intuition to start your business, to start a podcast, to do all the things that you've done. And that's different than the nudges and the intuition that I get. So I really believe that those little thoughts, your intuition, those little, that would be interesting. I wonder what if I could do, those are meant for you. So follow those in whatever tiny little step you can and just explore it.
Have you read Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert? Okay, so in this book, she talks about this idea of how we're all sort of like on this frequency. And so we each get these individual intuitive hits. So like you said, like what I get is different from what you get. But her thought is that if we don't pursue those thoughts, so say I get this inclination to open a yoga business and I decide to ignore that, that idea then gets passed on to somebody else who then takes the step forward to pursue whatever that interest is or idea. And so in her book, she explains this example of an idea, because she's an author, she had for writing this novel that she ignored. And then 5 years later, this New York Times bestseller came out and it was the exact story that she had had in her head. And so I always found that to be like a very interesting concept. Like, I'm not saying that it's true one way or the other, but just sort of what you were alluding to with like my intuitive hits are different than yours. I just thought that that was like a very, very interesting perspective to take on that.
That is interesting. I kind of like that, actually. I feel like, yeah, I feel like that's really interesting. And I feel like, depending on the person, that might actually help motivate me or like encourage me to take steps forward on that, because it's like, no, that's mine. I don't want to lose that. Like, that's mine. Like, don't take that away from me. I'm going to do it.
I got to do it now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to do it. That was my intuitive hit. But that's interesting. I mean, I've also become much more spiritual now than I ever have been before, because you know what? Like, I think there's a lot to the world, and I used to have such a tight grip on controlling everything. And to be honest, it wasn't really working for me. So here we go. Maybe that's true.
That's it. It's the surrender aspect. Sometimes, you know, we just gotta let go of the control and see what happens. And like I said before, the worst case is we're going to end up where we started. So if I have to go back to square one, I'll do it. I volunteer as tribute. Let's find out what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know what? You learned something. Whatever you tried, whatever you did, like, there's no way you didn't at least learn one thing from that experience that you can take with you.
No. Okay, Jordan, I would love to hear if you have any sort of parting advice you'd like to share with millennials who are maybe sort of in this period of transition, like many of us are or have been over the past few months, this year, who have these ideas, these intuitive thoughts, nudges, that they're meant to do something. And I think for everyone, it's going to look a little bit different. What kind of advice would you give them to say like, hey, now's the time, better than ever. Why don't you just go for it?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's way easier said than done, but just going for it. And I think maybe an actual tip that someone could use is like, write down everything you're afraid of. Write it down. Get it out. I talk a lot with my clients when I'm coaching them about like shining light on those dark areas. Like, let's just get it out. Like, don't let it hide in the darkness anymore. So what are you afraid of? What's the worst that could happen? Write it all down. Like, everything, just get it out. Let it out. Let the light shine on all those scary parts. Write it all down. And then, you know, what are you afraid of? What's the worst that could happen? And usually, once you see it on paper like that, it's like, okay, well, the worst that could happen, like you've said, you know, a couple of times in this conversation, the worst that happens is that nothing happens and I come right back to where I am. And oftentimes that's the worst that happens. And then it's just really trying to use your logical brain to say like, so if that's the worst that happens, all this other things that I'm afraid of is just fear. It's just fear. And if I can just work through that and I can just, you know, have the courage to try something, it's fear. And I don't know, everyone's motivated a little bit different. Everyone's going to have something different. But for me, what really, really motivates me in those moments is, how am I going to feel if I don't do it? How am I going to feel if I look back in 1 year, 10 years, 3 months, and I never did it and I didn't do it? And for me, that feeling is so much worse than the fear of trying it and the fear of doing it. Sometimes it takes me a little while to actually do it. It can take some time, but ultimately when I started my business, taking my business online, ultimately I'm like, I know that I have to do this because it might sound dramatic, but a part of me is going to die inside. Like my soul, part of me is going to die inside if I don't. And I can't let that happen. And I'm working on like not letting that happen, you know, like taking action before I start to feel like the part of me is dying inside. But that's what motivates me. So I would say, write down what you're afraid of, write down what's the worst that's going to happen. And then think about how you're going to feel if you don't do it, if you never did it, if you just stayed where you are, and then what feels worse.
Yes. I used that exact exercise when it came to leaving my 9-to-5. Like if I try this business and it doesn't work, worst case scenario, I'm going to have to go find like another 9-to-5. Okay. If I stay in my 9-to-5, I'm going to end up 30 years down the road. Okay, I get my sweet pension, but I also was just miserable for the last 30 years of my life. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I think the risk is worth it. If it doesn't work out again, I'm back at square one. That's fine.
Because you were with me on like part of your inside of you, part of your soul is going to die.
Exactly. And so that's not to say that for everyone it's going to look exactly like that, but I think that 100%, I like weighing out the option of doing it versus not doing it, which one gets me the most excited and which one kind of like feels restrictive almost.
And the other advice I have is I use this with exercise all the time. So quick, tiny exercise tip is if you're really, really, really not feeling motivated, how can you make it easier? So how can you make the workout easier? Okay, only do a 30-minute workout. Okay, use lighter weights than you normally do. Okay, just do body weight stuff. Like, okay, don't do the high impact part of the workout. Like, how can you make it easier to get yourself started? So I would say that too. Like, it doesn't have to be like maybe all in, jump off the cliff. How can you make it easier for yourself to take small steps?
Yeah, because oftentimes once we do that first thing, it makes the motivation come to us. Like motivation, I think, is kind of like BS. I think that motivation comes from forcing yourself to take that first action. So if you don't feel like working out today, but you tell yourself like, okay, I'm just going to do it for 20 minutes. Well, once you get into that 20 minutes, you might be like, okay, this isn't so bad. Like I can push it to 30, 40, whatever that looks like. And that same principle applies to literally any aspect of our life. It just comes to taking that one small, simple action to go ahead and to get started.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And not 8 times out of 10, you did do the longer workout. Halfway through, you decided, oh, I can use the heavier weights now. You decided, oh, it's the last 30 seconds. I'm going to add the jump squats in. Like, and it's like that with life, right?
For sure. That's such an excellent perspective to have. And I think that people will really benefit from that reminder. Sometimes that's all we really need is for someone else to tell us something we already know, to be like, hey, if they can do it, I can do it too. And this is the best way to approach it. So thank you so much, Jordan, for coming on here, for sharing your story, and for offering such important advice to people in such a weird time that we're living in.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having this conversation. It was great. Talking about this stuff is like, you know, my favorite thing, having real conversations with people who are, you know, on similar journeys and doing amazing stuff is so exciting. So thank you.
I love it. Where can people connect with you online?
So Instagram's probably the best place. I'm pretty active over there. And that's just at jordan.comerford, which I'm sure you can link up for them. Instagram's where I'm at all the time. You can also find out about what I'm doing on my website, which is jordancomerford.com.
Like Jordan said, I will link all of that information in the show notes. So if you want to connect with her, I would highly encourage you to go and check those links out. Thanks again, Jordan. We will chat again so, so soon.
Sounds great.
Well, my friends, that's it for this week. I hope that you enjoyed the interview, and I'll be back to chat with you again next week. Just a reminder, I am offering those $5 Starbucks gift cards to anyone who leaves the podcast a review on iTunes. And I'm also offering the option, anyone who's local to Muskoka that's listening to this podcast, and you would prefer maybe a gift card for a local coffee shop. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of supporting local and I have no problems doing that. So you can just shoot me an email and I can get that to you. I always just default to Starbucks because it's the easiest way to do it over the internet if you're not located in my local area. So I don't want you to feel pressured to go to Starbucks if you don't want to. Just leave the review, shoot a screenshot, and send it over to me via email. I saw a couple come in and I'm not sure who they're from. So if it's you, please speak for yourself so you can claim what's yours. And I would be more than happy to send that your way. So that's going to be it for this week. I'll talk to you again soon. Love you so much. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to hit that subscribe button so that you get notified when new episodes go live. Make sure to rate and review this podcast and be sure to share it with your friends. I'll talk with you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening. Love you so much.